This is Odds On with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw, live from the Circa Sportsbook on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Odds On. I'm Mike Palm, and he is Amal Shaw. Terrific job by Femi yesterday filling in for me. Thank you, Femi. World Series Game 1 tonight, Amal. We'll have Bob Nightingale join us in about 15 minutes to discuss. I want to get back to what we do on Mondays. We kind of skipped a little bit of that, Amal, with some of your naughty list, or as we call it, shenanigans. Let's start with Nick Sirianni.
Tell you what, man. How about the onside kick? They're down by 10 points. Talk about an era of desperation with this football team. How about you try and run the ball every once in a while? I didn't realize Miles Sanders is still on the team, but you're not going to win too much with Jalen Hurts. And this Philadelphia Eagles team, they're not going anywhere fast.
Why did you like the Raiders so much? You said you liked the Raiders. The number went down to a pick 'em on Sunday.
It's not my problem. The bottom line is, when you look at it, what justifies Philadelphia being a neutral site level with the Raiders? If they're actually, when you see the line closed at Pick'em, how would the Raiders be a dog against this Philadelphia team? What have you seen out of Philadelphia shown you? What, because they scored on the Kansas City defense? Who hadn't scored on the Kansas City defense? The bottom line is, this is not a good football team. The most important criteria, in my opinion, for a quarterback in the National Football League is accuracy. Jalen Hurts has never had that. Going back to Channelview, going back to Tuscaloosa, going to Norman, and now in Philadelphia. He doesn't have that, never has, never will. That's the bottom line. You can't win with him. It's the old Mike Singletary line. Can't win with him. And until they realize that, they're not going anywhere fast.
The New York Jets organization.
Yeah. How about this effort? I mean, by the way, at least the fact that Robert Saleh showed some passion, saying, hey, listen, you don't need to yell at these guys. You're a professional. If you can't show up and do your job, you probably don't need to be wearing the shield, and I agree with him. Just an absolutely deplorable effort out of this team. The New England Patriots, I think they had their highest scoring output since like the late 70s or something like that. I mean, just unbelievable. They put up 54 points.
Chris Andrews does that prop every week, the highest scoring team. I think New England was like 35-1 to be the highest scoring team in cash.
Got there pretty easily, didn't yeah. they? I mean, it's pathetic, the effort we're seeing out of the New York Jets right now. Look, I get they didn't have C.J. Mosley, their best defender. He'll be back this week in the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. But now you've got no Zach Wilson. You're going to have Mike White, who played at Western Kentucky, starting. They did sign Joe Flacco. That could potentially make a difference for this Jets team here. But I just don't like the way they're playing. The effort is lacking. Mike, you don't get beat by this kind of number without a lack of effort.
The Washington football team quarterback, Taylor Heinicke.
Okay, so I believe the game is called tackle football. And when you have the ball and your team's down by 14 and you're going towards the end zone and you can make it standing up, why are we diving at the half a yard line when you could just get into the end zone? And then on fourth down, he fumbles the ball. They don't score. Mike, changed the entire fortunes of that game. What a terrible play by Tyler Heinicke. I got to tell you, there's got to be some guys on that team that lost respect for him. It's the old Cam Newton play.
I thought they played well enough definitely to cover the number.
Yes.
They have the kick blocked early, and then he doesn't kick a field goal next time down, Rivera. His confidence is shaken. What, they have three first and goals and only got 3 points out of it? They actually competed and outgained the Packers during this game.
Yeah, bigger picture for Green Bay, you have to be concerned about the fact that this defense couldn't stop enough people. But Blewett, the guy who came in as the field goal kicker, hadn't kicked since 2016. They cut Hopkins, and it looks like it's going to be a bad decision there.
Jason Bean,
similar situation to what we saw out of Taylor Heinicke on Saturday. You know, I think Heinicke was probably watching the Oklahoma game, sitting around in the hotel, and he sees Bean just step out of bounds at the 1 yard line. If you saw the KU Oklahoma game, you see Bean has about a 15 yard run. All he's got to do is just stick his head in there. He's in the end zone. Now he just decides, I'm going to duck out at the 1 yard line. Very nice for the running back to be able to get the touchdown. Give me a break. You're playing Boomer Sooner. Put your head in there and trying to get in the end zone.
A new name on the list, Amal Shaw.
Yeah, I hate that I had to put myself on here, but I have to. There's no question about it. We said, or during the year, I said that the Detroit Lions should select, the Cincinnati Bengals should select Penei Sewell instead of Ja'Marr Chase. Now, Penei Sewell may turn out to be an all-time player. And by the way, why do they have the worst picture of me of all time on here? This is unbelievable. I'll tell you right now, Britton Hess, I know where you live, buddy. The bottom line is, I was dead wrong. Ja'Marr Chase, not only has he been good, he's been great. Best rookie in football, better than Jefferson was last year, not just based on the performance of the yardage. It's not about that. It's his ability to threaten the defense deep. It's the comfort level that Joe Burrow has. Look at the interception that Burrow threw. He just threw it up because Ja'Marr Chase was there. Only bad play that Joe had during the game on Sunday. But I could not have been more wrong in terms of the performance that Ja'Marr Chase has had for the Bengals. He has made a difference. If Penei Sewell is there, this Bengals team is not sitting at 5-2.
I think, and I beat the drum as well as you did, that they should take Penei Sewell. Instead of Chase. I think it's too early to put your name on the list. Or you should have my name on the list as well.
But. Fair enough. I took you off of there. I didn't know. You know, I thought I'd give you a break on that one. No, but Mike, here's why I had to put it on there. It may turn out that Penei Sewell turns out to be the better long-term player. But in the short term, based on this season through 7 weeks, the impact is far greater that Ja'Marr Chase has had than Penei Sewell.
I agree. But, you know, Joe Burrow could go down next week and the season's over for the Bengals.
It's funny. Britton and John, I think a couple other people said that behind the stage today. Absolutely.
And finally, from last night, Sean Payton.
Well, so first of all, I want to give credit to Payton for one thing. I wish more coaches would do what he did at the end of the first half. If you guys saw it, they had one timeout remaining. The Seahawks were going to take a knee, but I love the fact that he called the timeout and forced them to take one more snap. Let's just say there's an errant snap or there's a fumble and you potentially recover it, you get 3 points. I love that using the timeout there. I think every team should do that on every Sunday. Make the team take the timeout, use the timeout, make the team snap the ball. You might get a turnover there. But then late in the game situation, Mike, when Seattle was dumb enough to jump off sides on 4th and 5, why are you throwing the football? Because they should have run the clock, because you knew you probably weren't going to score with this offense, and they played a conservative game plan because they knew Seattle wasn't going to be able to move the ball on them. If they run the ball, they force the Seahawks to either utilize their final timeout or they get past the 2-minute warning. Instead, they gave Seattle a full opportunity with a timeout.
They were also snapping the ball with 10 on the play clock in the last 2 minutes, too. All right, on Tuesdays, we do 3 up and 3 down. 3 teams, we increased their power ratings over the previous weekend, and three teams, we decreased. Let's go with the differences. We both have the Titans and the Raiders on our up list of them all. I don't want to dwell on that. Your other team that I don't have on there was the Bengals.
Yeah, 5-2, a great road win against a division opponent. And when you look at the AFC standings right now, the number one ranked team in the conference, if the season ended today, would be the Cincinnati Bengals. I still think the road through the AFC goes through Buffalo. When you look at the Bills' schedule, they're sitting at 2 losses. I don't see a scenario where they wind up with 5 losses. They could potentially lose 2 more games. They got to play Tampa, and they have one other challenging game. But they've got that AFC least. They get to play those bad teams, New England, Miami, and, of course, the Jets. So I think they'll be able to really succeed there. But you have to give Cincinnati credit. And one of the things that I think with the Bengals is going to continue to happen is now that they've done well, the confidence is going to continue to build. They don't go into games hoping to win. Now they expect to win.
One of my burning questions, if we were doing that yesterday, would have been, have you changed your opinion that the Bengals will not make the playoffs?
I didn't look at the AFC as closely, but I think they have a chance. Because the NFC I've gone through, there's 9 viable teams.
Now, there's 5 good teams, and then there's a gap that 2 other teams will get.
Absolutely right. And there's 4 teams that are vying for those spots. In terms of the AFC, real quickly, thinking at the top of my head, you got 3 in the AFC North, 1 in the AFC East, so that's 4 teams. AFC South, 2 teams, that's 6. And then the AFC West, 3 teams. So you're looking at 9 teams. I think the Bengals are going to make the playoffs.
You think the Bengals have a greater chance than the Browns of making the playoffs right now?
No.
Okay. My other up team was the Colts. After the collapse in the second half at Baltimore on Monday Night Football, I was interested to see how they would play. A lot of people on this network were on the Colts at San Francisco Sunday night. I was not, though. I was impressed, though, that they sustained the effort from the first half. Yes, there was that storm in San Francisco, so it was hard to catch the ball. The kicking was a little bit erratic. But, you know, they hung in that game. They outplayed them in the second half. And really now, they have to have their hat in the ring as one of the playoff teams. I was a little quick to dismiss that they would not make the playoffs this year.
Well, that's why I included 9 teams, because the Colts are a team that you have to consider. I don't know if they're necessarily going to be able to win the division, but I think they're a challenger throughout, and they're going to be one of those wild card contenders.
Our 3 downs are 3 different teams completely. So we'll start with your list, Amal. The 49ers.
Yeah, I think this 49ers team, they've lost 4 in a row. The big question mark to me, you mentioned the rain there in San Francisco, actually in Santa Clara over the weekend. But you know what? The Colts were playing in that same weather too. And Michael Pittman was absolutely abusing that 49ers secondary. 3 DPIs against this team. I thought the number was too high going into this game. I thought maybe if the 49ers are a 3-point favorite, I don't touch it. But you're getting 4, and it closed, I think, at 4.5 or even a little bit higher in some spots. So I think when you look at the San Francisco team, Mitchell's been terrific running the football. But other than that, you've got a lack of consistency. Debo Samuel, to me, is an elite wide receiver. They just don't have enough without George Kittle in the lineup.
Do you agree with Shanahan's decision to continue to start Garoppolo at this point in the year?
Well, I mean, Trey Lance is banged up. I do not, and here's why. I think this team is, if they make the playoffs, they're a 6 or a 7 seed. They're not going that far with the current situation that they have. Put yourself in a better draft position. You're still good enough defensively with Bosa at the front, Warner in the middle. You've got to get better in the secondary. That's where the problem still exists with the 49ers. So for me, it really comes down to, can this team improve defensively?
The Miami Dolphins.
They're just bad. They're just bad. By the way, I don't know if you saw that game Sunday. Their team was celebrating with like 2 minutes and change. And
if they'd have won that game 28-27, Arthur Smith should have been fired on the spot for not going for 2 in the fourth quarter.
I couldn't.
They're up six, and he kicks the extra point to go up 13.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I had known that, he would have been on the list. Yeah. I did not know that. I wasn't. I said, I didn't turn on that game until it got late. I said, oh, there's six people could get knocked out in Survivor here. I said, let me put it on. Other than that, no interest in that football game. I didn't know that.
Yes. Terrible. And then the Lions.
Well, because they put so much into that game. I thought they executed. That game, you have never seen the difference be between two quarterbacks. If Matthew Stafford plays for the Lions, they win that game by 14 points. With all the risk and everything they took, DeAndre Swift was unbelievable. Jared Goff flat out sucks. There are bank robbers right now in Southern California getting ready to heist a bank right now in L.A. County. They're going to walk out with 20 grand if they're lucky. And they could wish they could steal the amount of money Jared Goff has stolen. This guy is flat out a thief without a ski mask and a gun. Mike, he is terrible.
All right. I'm going to go to my list quickly. The Bears... I should be on your naughty list for saying that if they were close at halftime, they'd have an upset shot at Tampa. This team was done about three plays into the game. I don't know how much you watched it. The body language was terrible. First of all, you can't run the ball on Tampa. You know that. And I said this. Fields is going to have to make some passes, make some plays in this game because I don't think their defense is giving up 50 to Brady. They might have. I mean, Tampa took their foot off the gas. But, I mean, he's terrible. They were terrible. They tried to run the ball. They couldn't. He was overwhelmed. His bigger problem in interceptions is fumbles.
Yeah,
he's like Dave Craig. Does he have the small? He can't have that small hands. I mean, every time they hit him, he fumbles the ball. Chiefs, I don't know where they go from there. They're just bad. I don't think they make the playoffs. And Panthers, what an ugly game in New York. That was unwatchable.
Hey, can we go ahead and finally say Sam Darnold is not an NFL starting quarterback?
He's always been a loser wherever he was. Up next, Bob Nightingale previews the World Series.
This is Odds On with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This segment of Odds On is presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Zyn is working to create a world where you can enjoy life on your own terms. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and hassle-free tobacco alternative that can be enjoyed on the go anywhere and anytime so you never miss a minute of the game or the tailgate party. Available in 10 varieties, including spearmint, coffee, and Amal's personal favorite, citrus. Zyn can be found at convenience stores nationwide, so you can find your Zyn wherever you are. Zyn's nicotine pouches are clean and discreet with no lingering smell. Plus, it's easy to use indoors or out, making it the perfect complement to your everyday. Also, Zyn comes in two strengths, so you have control over your nicotine satisfaction. Zyn contains nicotine, is only for adult nicotine consumers 21+. Learn more and find your local retailer at Zyn.com, at Z-Y-N.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Welcome back into Odds On. Mike Palm with Amal Shaw. And it's our pleasure at this time to have Bob Nightingale join the program again. Bob, of course, a baseball writer for USA Today. Good afternoon, Bob. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Bob. Not the World Series everybody might have thought 2 or 3 months ago heading in. No Dodgers, no Giants. We get the Braves from the National League. And the Astros make the World Series for the third time in 5 years. Astros have been so good at home this year, Bob. I find it hard to bet against them in a series where they'll have four home games. Your thoughts on the World Series? Astros $1.40 favorite.
I like Atlanta. They got the better pitching. Their pitching's lined up. Charlie Morton's been through this before. He should be solid. Max Fried. A couple of hiccups in the Dodgers series, but, he had the lowest ERA of anybody second half. That bullpen's been phenomenal. So I'll take Atlanta in the series.
Bob, you mentioned you like Atlanta with the pitching here. In terms of the breakdown from the Houston perspective, without Lance McCullers, can this for starting rotation be competitive enough and keep this team in games? Because this Atlanta offense, I thought, has been underrated going into the Dodgers series, and I think, once again, they're not getting enough run in terms of what they can do potentially.
No, you're right. I worry about that. I mean, they got, some awfully talented young pitchers, but they're young. Farmer Valdez, Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, Greinke. I think Greinke might play a factor in this thing. I could see him pitching well. But, you worry about how these guys are going to react on the big stage.
Bob, you said you like the pitching matchup for the Braves, and I agree with you that their bullpen has been absolutely fantastic, especially the job they did against the Dodgers in the NLCS. Take me through the Astros bullpen and how important they'll be in this series. Obviously, in the ALCS, outside of the one Framber Valdez start, we didn't see any starting pitchers really get much past the fifth inning here. How do you think the Astros pen fares?
You know, I just think, okay. You know, you got, you know, Presley back there. You got some nice veteran pitchers. But you just don't know how they're going to, they weren't used much at all during the LCS. And I think there's a reason for them. I think Dusty let those guys go, the starters go, because maybe there wasn't full trust in that bullpen. I think it's it can be shaky at times where, you know, it's not going to be lights out. I'm not saying, you know, Atlanta had their problems down the stretch with the bullpen, but man, it sure seems like they straightened that thing out in a hurry. I mean, Will Smith, it was tough to watch at times, and he's been absolutely lights out of late.
Bob, when you look at this Houston team matched up against the Braves, you obviously favor the Braves in this one, but what area would you point to that you believe Houston has any advantage, if they do at all, against the Braves in this series?
Well, that offense, when you know, you have Kyle Tucker as the number 7 hitter in that lineup, that's a pretty scary lineup. So I think the that's their advantage. The offense is tough. It's a dangerous, dangerous lineup. So that's one advantage I give them.
We're speaking with Bob Nightingale, USA Today, Major League Baseball columnist. Bob, I want to talk about the Dodgers. They acquire Scherzer and Turner. What are the chances they keep one or either of them? And then from a rotation standpoint, do you think Trevor Bauer ever pitches again in Major League Baseball? And where do you see Clayton Kershaw next year?
Yeah, I wonder where Kershaw will end up. You know, free agent, I don't know if he'll want to go back home, if lives in Dallas. If the Rangers are a better team, I think he'd do it. I'm not sure he'll be back with the Dodgers. He may say, you know what, I've already done this. Let me move on. The Dodgers aren't going to throw that kind of money at him. I thought Scherzer was going to end up back with the Dodgers. I'm not sure now. I kind of get the sense he's leaving. He'll go elsewhere. Bauer won't pitch next year. He'll probably be suspended the entire season, and then for 1 year, and then come off the suspension. I think he will pitch, maybe for a small market team one day. But he certainly won't pitch again for the Dodgers. He's sort of his last pitch for them.
What about Corey Seager? Obviously, he's a free agent. He's from North Carolina. I thought he would potentially wind up with the Washington Nationals. Do you believe he re-signs with the Dodgers or he winds up elsewhere?
I think definitely elsewhere. Remember, now they got Trey Turner. They would have traded Trey Turner. They promised him he'll be a starting shortstop next year. It won't be Seager. I can see Seager a number of places. Yeah, I don't see him in New York. I don't think the Yankees are going to offer that kind of money because they have a couple of young shortstops in the future. I'm not sure where he ends up. You know, maybe Detroit. Maybe Texas Rangers. That sort of thing. He'll certainly get plenty of offers, but I don't see him returning to the Dodgers at all. Without a position shift, and he's not ready for that.
Bob, when we look ahead to next year, the San Francisco Giants won 107 games. Will they be the favorites to come out of the West, or will the Dodgers still be favored?
I think Dodgers will be favored. They really do. I mean, people say, you know what, they're going to come back to Earth. It was a fluke. It wasn't a fluke, but people react that way. So I think definitely the Dodgers will be the favorite, and probably heavy favorite.
Two questions about managers. Were you surprised that the Cardinals let go of Mike Schilt, and who do you think ends up as the Padres' head man? I heard Schilt was talking to the Padres as well.
Yeah, Mike Schilt interviewed Sunday with the Padres, and from what I heard, interviews went well. If he doesn't end up there, he'll be in somebody's front office. I was very surprised. If you had asked me who's the top 5 safest managers without getting fired, I would have said him. I don't think any of us knew about the philosophical differences. So, I mean, Schilt would be managing again. I don't know about managing the Mets, but the Padres makes perfect sense.
Bob, I want to ask you, you see a lot of these free agents coming up and these teams who sign these players to long-term contracts outside of the Max Scherzer deal in Washington, which I think most people would agree he probably exceeded. I don't understand this need by front offices to sign these players to these long-term deals. The one that I always point to is the Bryce Harper 13-year deal. I don't get that. Never have, never will. And even you look at the Albert Pujols deal, became an albatross for Artie Moreno and the Angels afterwards. Are teams going to eventually trend away from that? Because these contracts don't seem to be paying dividends. I actually liked the way the Trevor Bauer deal where it was structured, where it was heavily weighted in his favor, but only for a couple of years. So it doesn't really bog down the Dodgers long term. Do you think you'll see some teams finally become a little bit more astute in their negotiations?
Well, they like to, but, you know, there's always someone's going to give you long-term contracts. So everybody says, you know what, if I want this guy bad enough, I got to give a long-term deal. You know, I look at Jason Hayward. You know, obviously that contract has not worked out for the Cubs, but the Cardinals were right there with it. So were the Washington Nationals were offering that kind of money. You know, Harper had a long-term offer from the San Francisco Giants. That's where the Phillies did that. Now his contract, the Phillies, is more designed for luxury tax. I mean, it's not really, you don't expect him to be playing great. I mean, playing all at the end of 13 years, but at least not to get the paid less per year by stretching out like you do. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, teams hate doing that, and some of these contracts, you know, turn bad right away. You know, like Anthony Rendon's, you know, what is it, an eight-year deal or so with the Los Angeles Angels, and already is turned very sour. So teams like to get, you know, away from that. But all it takes is a, you know, one or two teams to make big offers, and if you want a guy bad enough, you're going to have to at least match it.
Bob, what moves do you anticipate, including with management or front office, the New York Yankees making over the winter?
I don't think they'll get a shortstop at all. I mean, if they do, it'll be a short-term shortstop because they really like the young kids are a year or two away. We'll see what happens, you know, on the field. They'll hire some coaches. Obviously, Boone's back. You know, Brian Cashman was never going anywhere. They got to get some more contact hitters, you know. I would think they might, you know, if you got Joey Gallo, they may spin him and trade him away to try to get more guys who just put the ball in play. That's why the Astros are here where they are. It's just they put the ball in play. They don't strike out. You know, like, you know, Pete Rose, who lives in Vegas, as he said, if I struck out 213 times a season, like Joey Gallo just did, I'd shoot myself.
Bob, we really appreciate the time. Enjoy the World Series and look forward to having you on next year.
All right, sounds great. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
How excited are you for this year's World Series? On a scale of 1 to 10.
Let's go with -6.
No, it can't be a negative number.
Okay.
Because it's not in the scale.
But last time you were disappointed when I gave a -1. So one. Okay,
I'm
happy?
Interested to see the pitching of the Astros.
Are you happy now?
Pitching. When we come back, college football, wild or right.
Got any more complaints?
This is Odds On with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back into Odds On. Terrific job by Bob Nightingale last segment. I'm all... Let's focus on college football. That's right in your wheelhouse. But I want to ask my one burning question I have for you. Does Alabama moving ahead of Oklahoma in the polls set up a scenario where a two-loss Alabama team... Let me finish my question before all your facial gestures.
I didn't do anything. I was just...
For those listening on the radio, he dismissed me with his eyes. Does a two-loss Alabama team, assuming they lose to Georgia in the SEC title game, make the playoff ahead of a one-loss Big Ten or Big 12 champion?
Okay, I'll answer two questions. First of all, I always dismiss you every day, so it doesn't matter. Okay. Second, no, they do not. That's the bottom line. You can't lose in College Station. I know Texas A&M thinks they're so important. They haven't won a national title since about 1939, but don't let the people in College Station know that. Alabama's not getting in with two losses because, first of all, they got to beat Georgia. When you look at their schedule right now, they've got one win over a ranked team. That's Ole Miss. Florida's not ranked anymore. If you want to give the argument when the team is played, I got no problem with that.
Arkansas was ranked 8th. Part of the reason teams aren't ranked anymore is because Georgia demolishes them.
Oh, yeah. That's why Kentucky's still ranked.
Anyhow. Well, they didn't demolish him. That's a 17-minute drive or whatever. God, that made the score respectable.
Hey, he had to make sure the alums were happy with the coverage of the point spread.
Yeah, he did. Did Cincinnati play their way out of the playoff with their performance against Navy on Saturday?
No, I don't think that matters. I don't understand why teams like Cincinnati have to perform at a national championship game level for 13, 14 weeks to be considered a playoff team. The bottom line for me is, look, when you look at this right now, we're not talking about Oregon, but if the Ducks run the table, they're getting in. Nobody's talking about Oregon.
No shot.
Hold on a minute before we go.
You cannot lose to David Shaw and get in a playoff. That should be a rule.
You can
that putrid performance that they had on the farm.
Yeah, by the way, it helps.
They barely beat Cal. They played like doo-doo against Arizona. Just because they beat your UCLA Bruins now, you want them back in. You're now 1-11 involving UCLA games in a 7-2.
I got LSU and another game in there somewhere.
2-11 in 7
yeah,
weeks.
Exactly. No, listen, hold on a second here, buddy.
Okay, buddy.
I don't like that you threw that back at me, but that was good.
Let's move on.
No. I want to make a point here.
You
they
say
beat
Oregon's
Ohio State. They still have the best road win in college football this year. Who's got a better road win?
I'll get back to you.
Yeah, keep trying. And by the way, they got hosed. Can we be a little bit objective here? Those refs in that Stanford game were not exactly guys you want to sign up. They were like the refs we saw at State College against Auburn.
Let's go to the back to South Bend, where Mack Brown brings his Tar Heels in to face the winningest coach in the history of Fighting Irish football, Brian Kelly. A little chilly there for the USC Trojans on Saturday night. Notre Dame laying 3.5 to UNC. They were laying 7 to USC. Is 3.5 wild or right, Amal?
I think this number's right. You've got a North Carolina offense that can move the football. They've been inconsistent. The defense has some things that, you know, you look and say, hey, I'm not sure about this team. They were fortunate to escape against the Hurricanes here. But I think Notre Dame would be the play here at 3.5. The big thing is, you know, Notre Dame, the injury with Hamilton, that's obviously a concern. But when you look at this North Carolina team, I have question marks about the defense. Mike, I favor Notre Dame in this game. I think they're going to find a way to win the game, but I just have a hard time backing them because of the lack of offensive consistency. But I think they'll be able to move the ball against this Carolina defense.
All right, let's get to your UCLA Bruins. We can't forget about them. Off the loss in the Rose Bowl to Oregon, they now travel to Utah. They're getting 6.5 on the road. Interesting number here, a total of 60.5. Utah, very much alive for the Southern Championship in the Pac-12 and possible date with Oregon in the Pac-12 Championship game here in Las Vegas. Utah lane 6.5 to UCLA. Is that wild or right?
I think this is absolutely correct because this UCLA defense can't stop anybody. When you look at the second halves of these games, go back to the Arizona State game, Mike. They struggled in that one. This game, obviously, we see DTR get banged up. Garbers comes in. They did fine there. But overall, when I look at this UCLA team, I have some concerns. Utah with a lot to play for, inconsistent. They lose that game at Oregon State. Really,
they gave up 42.
I know.
That's what surprised me. I wasn't shocked they lost, but 42?
How about Arizona State for the Rose Bowl? I mean, excuse me, Oregon State for the Rose Bowl. I think they got a great shot in the Civil War. I don't think they're going to win because the game is in Eugene, but I think they've got a chance in that game. But Utah at Rice-Eccles, they're a completely different team.
This game was played at Virginia last year. Now Virginia returns the favor and travels to Provo to take on BYU. BYU lays 2.5 with a total of 63.5. This is Bronco Mendenhall's return to Provo. Is this number, 2.5 BYU, wild or right?
Is that Provo, Spain, or Provo, Utah?
Provo, Utah.
I like the Cougars here. Mm-hmm. This line is wild.
I think it's way short.
It's absolutely. Yeah. By the way, did you see the finish of the Virginia-Georgia Tech game on Saturday?
I did not.
Sims and company are down by 21. They go down, score a touchdown. They get an onsides kick, go down, score a touchdown, go for two, miss it, get the onsides kick again, and then get tackled about 20, 25 yards short of scoring there. I mean, it was an intriguing finish there. I don't like Bronco Mendenhall's defense. Armstrong's been terrific in terms of moving the ball, but they're a little bit one-dimensional for me. They can only throw the ball. Mike, I don't think the Cougars are getting enough credit for what they've done so far this year. They lost against Baylor. No shame in that. And then they lost the game without Romney at quarterback. I forgot who that was against. This team has been very solid. I like their chances in this game at home. And this line is going to go up.
Here's a big game in the Mountain West. Fresno State off the win, but not cover against UNR. Takes on San Diego State. This is a game I got wrong. I thought Air Force would be able to handle them. Air Force could not run the ball on San Diego State. Give credit to Brady Hoke and that defense. San Diego State's home here. They're laying 1 to Fresno with a total of 44.5. Is 1 wild or right?
I think this is a little bit wild. I think San Diego State should be favored here by about 3. And the reason is I think their defense is elite. They'll still be able to slow down this team enough, and they'll be able to run the ball effectively. The passing game still leaves a lot to be desired. But, you know, there was a drop pass by Air Force early on in that game, would have gone for a touchdown, about a 75-yard touchdown. That really changed the dynamic of the game. But give this San Diego State team credit. They go on the road and they get the W.
Pac-12. Washington goes to the farm to take on David Shaw and Stanford. Stanford favored by 2 at home here, total of 48. Does the fact that Stanford is favored here sound any alarms in Washington about how far Jimmy Lake's program has fallen? They were life and death getting beat by Arizona in the second half in that game on Friday night or Thursday night, whenever it was. Stanford 2, wild or right?
Yeah, I like this number. I think the number is correct, but I like Stanford here. I don't see Jimmy Lake's team going on the road. By the way, both alums of these teams are hoping they fire their head coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, these programs right now, 3-4 Stanford, but they've been far more competitive than Washington has. Washington's been fortunate. Their wins have come against, Arkansas State, mm-hmm. against Cal in overtime.
Overtime.
And then against Arizona. I mean, you've got teams that have basically combined 3 wins, because Arkansas State's won 1 football game. Arizona hasn't won
0.
A game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cal's won 2 games.
ACC, Wake Forest. I think you like the game over against Army, right? I like these games where we're on one's on a side and one's on a total. We usually do pretty well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I had Wake Forest, you had over. I think, what did they score, 120 some points?
126.
There you go.
By the way, when you're watching this game and then Wake Forest breaks serve and they get that 14-point lead, you know it's over, right? Well, like, the game's over.
I stopped focusing on it. It was part of my parlay. My eyes were drawn to the screen as long as Army kept staying within 7.
You know what it reminded me of? Backyard football. Like when you played with your friends growing up and every play goes for a touchdown. That's what this thing reminded me of. This is so ridiculous in this game. Now, in terms of this Wake Duke
game. Let me set it up.
Sorry,
you.
I'm sorry.
I got off track. But, you know, Wake and Pittsburgh now starting to separate themselves in the ACC a little bit. Duke at Wake. It's a 16.5 here. 16.5. Total of 70, Amal. 16.5, wild or right?
You know, it's funny. Somebody on Twitter sent me a direct message about this game, mm-hmm. and it was a great question. They said, hey, should I still play it at 69.5? And I said, I'm a little bit concerned because Duke does not score enough at times, and I can see Wake blowing them out. I said I believe that Wake Forest scores between 38 and 50 points. I know that's a large margin, but they're going to get there. It just depends on does Duke keep pace. Because if Duke doesn't, Mike, then I think you see a more conservative approach as the game progresses. I'm not going to touch this game. I think the spread is correct. I thought, 17.5, actually. So let's say wild, because we use a 1-point margin. I don't know how you're going to grade that, but I would say a little bit wild here. I think it should be 17.5. The total, I don't want to play it under, but it feels a little bit high at 70. I know they had that huge game last week, but I think you'll see David Cutcliffe and company be a little bit better in this game defensively than they've been in the past.
Wake Forest hosts Duke. They go to Chapel Hill. They host NC State. Then they have the big game at Clemson, and they finish at Chestnut Hill. They don't get Pittsburgh. I think they have a shot to run the table. Obviously, going into Clemson, Death Valley will be tough. Let me ask you this question. If Wake played Pitt on a neutral tomorrow, what would you make the number?
I would make I'd make Pitt.
Field goal favorite?
No. Probably about a 4 to 6 point favorite.
You're high on Pitt. You have been.
Well, it's not. Here's the difference. Both teams very good offenses, but Wake does not have the defense that Pittsburgh has. That's the difference for me. I want to go back real quickly to what you said about Wake Forest and that schedule, Mike. I don't believe they're going to be able to run the table. I think the schedule is too challenging. I think Pittsburgh. You're looking at them. They're 3-0. Virginia 4-2. I think Pittsburgh is in fine shape to represent from the Atlantic, from the Coastal Division.
I heard a discussion earlier this morning. If Pitt runs the table and wins the ACC, do they have a shot at the playoff?
They would need Oregon and Ohio State to drop.
I think the loss to Western Michigan disqualifies them. When we come back, we'll have them all in and the Palm Reader playbook.
This is Odds On with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. Bet Rivers has you covered for the NFL season. They're offering same-game parlays in all pro football matchups, and they're bringing back their reduce-the-juice promotion on game days. And this NFL season, they have a $1 million Beat the Spread Challenge with thousands of dollars given away each week. Pro football betting is more rewarding at BetRivers. Download the app or go to BetRivers.com. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. In Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Welcome back into Odds On. I'm Mike Palm. He is Amal Shah. How'd you do over the weekend with your picks?
6-3. 5-2 in college football, 1-1 in the NFL. Lost that Bengals teaser game, but did pretty well overall. And then I had a couple of plays myself that I didn't include that were actually turned out to be pretty easy. I wish I had. But, you know, getting such a rush Friday morning, I'm doing a show and come in here, and Britton's in there berating me with text messages. Where are your plays? Where are your plays?
Well, you won. You added the Astros game. That was a winner.
Yeah, that was the, yeah.
And you said you were going to have a bounce back weekend in college football. I did. I picked up a couple of units. I hit that the teaser, right? I said the NFL, I'm just going to bet the teaser,
yeah.
And that's what I did. I think college football was up and down. I thought I got lucky with UNR coming back to cover that game. They weren't, you know, good finish. It was a great finish. I kind of counted that as a loser, but we did well overall for the weekend with the teaser, three-unit teaser play on Sunday. Let's go. You have a play tonight in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I do. Pittsburgh Penguins taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning here. I'm going over 5.5 here. This Lightning team defensively, Mike, has been horrible. Off to their worst defensive start in history. I don't know if it gets turned around in Pittsburgh. I think the Pens probably win this game 4-2, but let's see what happens here.
Golden Knights, you can get 9-1. They don't make the playoff. Is it worth a play?
Absolutely.
It's a bad division, but they are bad.
I know, but you know what I love about betting hockey when you look at the futures? Look, the LA Kings in 2012 win the Stanley Cup as an 8th seed. Mm-hmm. You can have a chance, whether, you know, the better who had the St. Louis Blues in the long shot, he was a Blues fan. I think in hockey, you always have an opportunity because if you can get a goaltender that plays extremely well. You know, yesterday I ended up taking Carolina minus a goal and a half against Toronto because Frederick Anderson was playing his former team. It had gotten off to a great start. I said, plus 210 at home, they're only minus 115. I didn't make a big play. I just made a small play on it. I said, let me take a shot here. And they end up, I was so ticked off and went to sleep. It was like 1-0. I wake up and I see 3-1. I'm like, all right, we're off to a good start here in the early start of the third period. But I think in hockey sometimes, the goaltending can make a huge difference in how you wager.
Carolina's played very well this year.
Yeah.
But the Knights, you know, that was an impossible spot for the Islanders on Sunday night. Everything said Knights. And you can still get all these teams at plus. Edmonton's 5-0, and there were a dog here playing Vegas on Friday night. Okay, I have one play. It's the series. I'm going to take the Astros, the home team. I'm going to go against our friend Bob Nightingale from USA Today. He likes the Braves. I don't know. I think World Series are about getting your number 2, 3, and 4 starters to have good performances here. That's what Houston's going to have to do. But, you know, if Luis Garcia has a good game again. I mean, Luis Garcia was pitching like I never saw him pitch the other night.
He did.
He was hitting 98, 98. I never saw Luis Garcia pitch like that. You need those kind of performances. The Astros are going to need to get it out of their starters. And I agree with Bob. Up and down the lineup, the Astros are much deeper.
They are much deeper, but aren't you concerned a little bit when we go to Atlanta and you've got the
because of the no DH?
Yes. I think that has an impact for a team like Houston.
It will. It will. But they hit the ball everywhere.
I don't disagree, but the Braves can hit the baseball, too.
It's a tough lineup. They can, but there's spots you can pitch around there. I think you get by 4 and 5 there with the Braves, you're in pretty good shape for an inning and a half or 2 innings.
Before we go back to college football, one question for you. Jock Peterson, over under a half on homers in the World Series.
What's the price?
I don't know. I'm not good enough to make the price on that, but I'm just giving you. I have a feeling
he's over.
You would.
I'd say he hits a home run.
I hope he does because I actually want the Braves to win. For your series bet, I hope you win. I don't really have a rooting interest in this one. Braves are a team that has done so well for so long, but they just never really are able outside of 96 to be able to cash the prize.
Well, they made it every year. I mean, they were such a dime. What, they win 13 straight division titles there, and then they came up short in the playoffs. They ran into some buzzsaws like Sterling Hitchcock. Now, we had an interesting discussion in the break, and you said you wanted to pick it up here on air about the college football playoff. So maybe I can pose a few questions to you to get you started, and then you can take it from there. Can Georgia lose a game and still make the playoffs, or will they?
Probably, but if
they lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game, both Georgia and Alabama get in. Can we agree on that?
Not 100%.
Okay. Alabama gets in, Georgia might not.
Yeah, because Alabama wins, they get in for the SEC. Let's say Ohio State runs the table, they get in, or Michigan goes undefeated. You know, we're not talking about Michigan. We're not talking about Michigan State. Not likely, but if one of these teams runs the table, they get in there. So from that standpoint, you're looking at a Big Ten team getting in. Oklahoma runs the table, they're in, and I think Oklahoma's going to run the table despite the fact that Bedlam is in Stillwater.
If Oklahoma loses a game but wins the Big 12 title, are they necessarily in?
Probably, because they play ranked opponents down the stretch. They've got Baylor, Oklahoma State, and I forgot who the other opponent is. So Iowa State. So they've got some competitive opponents still yet to come. I think they've got a great chance to get in, even with the singular loss. And then if Oregon runs the table, because remember...
Hold on one second.
One thing you're forgetting, the committee gives a lot of weight to winning your conference title.
But if Ohio State and Oregon both win their conference title, you're saying the head-to-head is going to be the only, not the rest of the body of work?
The head-to-head has to weigh more.
But Oregon has not played well. They've played poorly so many games, and they lost to a god-awful Stanford team.
Okay, first of all, if you're going to discount Oregon for beating Ohio State and not give them credit, then why are we playing any of these games? Then if you're Oregon, never ever schedule these games again. If you're Ohio State, what's the purpose of scheduling?
I'm saying that the heads up is not the only determining factor.
I think it has to be a huge factor. That's the reason we play the game. So based on your theory, based on your theory, then Gonzaga is the college basketball national champion last year. Yes, they did lose to Baylor, but they had the better year.
That's different. That's in the playoff.
Oregon
you're
beat
voting.
Ohio State.
It's
Trust
subjective
me.
Opinion, and people are voting on how you get into the playoff.
Let me just put a bow on this, then we'll move on. Oh. I want my Buckeyes to be in the playoff. But if it goes head-to-head with Oregon and Ohio State, no person who's objective can rightfully say Ohio State deserves to get in over Oregon, even if they're the better team. Oregon beat them.
Okay. So Ohio State, they have to run the table, right?
Yes.
So they're going to beat Penn State.
Let's just assume they run the table.
They have Michigan?
Michigan State, Penn State, and Iowa.
And Iowa. So they're going to beat three top 10 teams and a top 20. So there. What's Oregon done? What will they have beaten? Oregon State? None of these Pac-12 teams. None of these Pac-12 teams are even ranked. Will they beat UCLA? Who did they beat outside of Ohio State? The rest of their body of work is garbage.
At the end of the day, why are we not criticizing Oklahoma for having won every game outside of Kansas and Western Carolina by less than 10 points?
I am.
But if they run,
I don't think they're any good.
Look, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where.
But they give a lot of weight to being conference power five conference champions.
If you win by one or 100, you still won the game. That's the bottom line. Now, to me, I get your point on these games that Oregon is kind of squeaked by against Cal, against UCLA. I'm trying to think some of the other games that they've played so far this year. But the bottom line is you have to give them credit for finding ways to win games, and they have the best win of the season, a road win in Columbus.
I disagree. I don't think they get in.
By the way, you know, you keep pointing to Georgia. Who has Georgia played outside of Arkansas and Kentucky?
Well, that's two very good teams.
But you know what? They're
about to play the greatest coach of our generation now in the cocktail party, Dan Mullen.
By the way, please. Please let Florida win this football game. Please.
They might, now that he's decided on the right quarterback, they might have a shot, but I doubt it.
It's about time.
What did you say? You said the line was right yesterday when you did it with Femi?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go to this game between Houston and SMU and the American.
I have not seen this number yet. Well, first of all, tell me, where's the game at?
The game is at SMU.
On the Hilltop?
No, it's at Houston. At Houston in the house that Holgorsen built. Sumlin. Sumlin built. Go ahead. Guy Lewis.
Well,
all right, so
Houston
the game is at,
hold on.
SMU at Houston. SMU still undefeated.
Cougars minus four.
Cougars minus one. So this is very wild.
Well, no, I thought the number would be, I think the line should be three.
So it's still wild.
Yeah, still wild. Yeah.
One and 62.5.
Tell you what, I love the way SMU's played, but they've been fortunate in a couple of games, particularly the Louisiana Tech game.
Isn't this total a little low?
I think so. Yeah. 62.5. I thought it would have been 66.
I thought it would be like 66 or 67.
Yeah, exactly. I think we'll consider both these wild. I think Cougars should be a 3-point favorite here. Now, with that being said, though, I still think the Ponies got a great chance in this matchup. And total a little bit low here. Mike, we're going to see some points here.
All right, I want to go to the game at Pitt. Pitt off the big win against Clemson. They stay at home. Miami and your boy Manny Diaz come a-calling. Pitt only laying 9 and a total of 61. Is that wild or right?
Well, so this line has come down 2 points. This line is wild. This line should be 13, and I'll tell you why. Because, just like I said last week, that line against Clemson should be up to 7. This line is wild because this Miami team, while they're solid offensively, they're not bad with Van Dyke. They're not good enough to move the ball consistently against this Pitt defense, and this Pittsburgh offense will flourish. That defense they played against Clemson, second-best scoring defense in college football.
Did you see the end of the half in the NC State-Miami game?
I did not.
NC State had the ball on their own 28 with 30 seconds left and no timeouts. The ball on their own 28, easily scored a touchdown, 2 pass plays. Manny Diaz actually called a timeout for him after the first one to organize his defense. They didn't even have to spike the ball. 40-yard pass, 30-yard pass, just like that. He's incredible. He is absolutely incredible, this guy. And they won the game.
Yeah, they don't have the Ed Reeds and the Sean Taylors back in that secondary anymore.
Real quick, Purdue, Nebraska. Nebraska laying 7.5 at home.
That is wild. Nebraska should be about a 4-5 point favorite.
Yeah, I thought it was high as well. Yeah. Stay tuned to VSiN. Up next, it's Betting Across America.